thy name.
Well, he's the fairest of 10,000. He's my
was bruised, he was bleeding, he was wounded just for me, and he was buried, but on that third day, he rose from that old tomb.
Aren't you thankful?
He ascended into heaven, and he's coming back soon.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Revelation 4:8. He rescued me. That's exactly how it happened. I was drowning. And he rescued me. I was just about to lose my mind. Nobody in their right mind would want to go to hell, would they? Telling you, I was just about to lose my mind. Just about to. Revelation 4:8, the last half of it says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." This is where I want to end up tonight. We're going to go through some steps before that. But if you want the title, it's Lord God Almighty. Then if you take notes, the first big point is holy. We'll go ahead and tell you he's holy. And then the second big point, Roman numeral 2, that's going to be holy. And then Roman numeral 3, if you want the third big point, that's going to be holy. He's holy. And he was holy in the past. He is holy right now. And when he comes back, he's still going to be holy. Still going to be holy. Now, I have to go through some steps to get through that. And I don't want to just keep pushing college here. College's not made for everybody. But I'm with Jennifer there and Sister Deb's a student, and she made a little trip up to the ER the other night there. She said, told me this morning, I asked her about it. She said, it's because there was somebody up there that didn't know about him.
Right.
And I need to go up there for a little bit so I can tell him about him. But I had a bunch of verses here to show us how wicked we are, because how am I going to grasp holy, holy, holy? How am I going to tell y'all about holy, holy, holy? Because we're the opposite. We're wicked. How am I going to do it? And I had a bunch of verses on that, but I just went with what we learned on Thursday night. They said a lot better. And, well, not better than verses, but they said a lot better than I could. I just want you to know fallen man is fatal. He's going to die. We're going to drown. That's what's going to happen. We're filthy. Fallen man is foolish, frail, wicked, wrong, unaware of my ignorance. Most of my life I've been unaware of my ignorance, but I'm starting to wake up just a little bit and be aware that I'm ignorant. I'm starting to. Weak. Fallen man's weak, worthless, woeful, and waning. That tide that's going out, it's waning. But see, what the book tells us, and I got to say this because my fellow students, they know this. They know where I got this. God's nature is holy. We just read it. Man's nature is sinful. And as my sin separated me from God. Now, how are we going to work that out? How are we going to get together? Is the problem. My nature, what I do naturally, is sin. So how could man be saved? How could a wicked sinner, how in the world could a wicked sinner ever be saved? Well, here's the good news. Guess what? God loves all men. And He desires to have all men come to Him. So already it's looking brighter. That's His plan to get me in. He's wanting to get me in. That's His plan. I didn't come up with that. That was His plan. I was going the other way. The problem is man's hopelessly lost in sin and cannot save himself. Therefore, he needs a Savior, a sinless substitute. If you don't go to sleep, I'll tell you who that is in a minute. We're getting down to it. Why? Because man cannot save himself. A drowning sinner cannot save a drowning sinner. I'm drowning too. I can't save you. I can't help it. You're drowning. I'm drowning too. I need help myself. And I'm talking about becoming holy. That's what I'm talking about. We're all drowning. Our entire nature is so corrupt that the best I can do is filthy rags. That's what Isaiah said. Talk about my best when I got my tie on, got my microphone on, I'm up front, I'm up on the platform. It's filthy rags. Filthy rags like the lepers used to scrape the pus off their sores. That's Brother Rick. That's at his best. That's the best I can do. Our heart. Whose heart, Brother Rick? Well, your heart and my heart. My heart is our desperately wicked and deceitful. That's what Jeremiah said. That's what he said. To even think that I could be righteous enough to save myself is in itself a sin of gross pride. Look what I did. I've been good. If you'll listen, a sinner will tell you how good they are, and a saved person will tell you how bad they are. If you'll listen, it'll come out every time. To attempt to be saved any other way than Christ is rejecting Him and rejecting the gospel and refusing the call of the Holy Spirit. It's trampling on the blood of Jesus and disobeying the Word of God. This is how bad a shape fallen man's in. That's what we're talking about. Every man's a sinner by birth. I was born a sinner. My parents never had one time to teach me how to do wrong. I already knew how to lie and steal. And so they didn't have to teach me that. Sister Kim and I spent 18 years trying to teach them to do right, and then they went out and did what we did. So as soon as I got old enough, I was a sinner by choice. Wasn't just by birth anymore. Then after that, I wanted to be a sinner. I was glad about it. By choice. I chose that. No man can live up to the holy, perfect standard of God's righteousness. Matthew 5:48. We're all sinking in that dark sea of sinfulness. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I know what I did. What are you going to do to fix that problem? I know what most of you did. Now, God's plan, that means God came up with it. I didn't say, look, Lord, this is what you ought to do. No. This is God's plan. This is what He came up with, is that God will grant righteousness to the unworthy. He come up with a plan to grant, that's another word for grace, to give righteousness to the ungodly. And I saw my chance. I said, I can identify with that. I'm ungodly and I know it. I can get in on this. It's a good plan. I was glad. I'm glad about God's plan. God's plan is to grant His righteousness through the payment of another. Someone else paid so I can get in. It was his son, by the way. His name's Jesus. That's the Savior I said I'd tell you about him a little bit. His plan is to grant his righteousness through faith in the blood of his son and his good works. Not my good works. I've never done any. On that cross, the Lord did a work. Not that cross. It was an old rugged cross. It wasn't a shiny, slick, smooth gold cross. It was an old rugged cross, and he did a work. There was a transaction took place. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. And that's all God's plan. And I like the way he set it up. Let's read a little bit more. Psalm 14:1. If you want to, you can turn to Psalm 53:1. They both say just about the same thing. But I'm going to go to Psalm 14:1. If I can find it. The fool. Don't want any testimonies right here, but you remember how foolish we were? Remember how deceived we were? Do you remember? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, a fool says, no God. No, I won't do it. He also says, there is no God. A fool. A fool. They are corrupt. That's the fools are. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand. See, we didn't even understand. I was an airhead. I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know. There's none that did understand or seek God. They are all going aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. One preacher asked this lady, he said, what's your thoughts on the doctrine of total depravity? She said, oh, sir, I think it's a good doctrine if people just live up to it. Well, I will go ahead and tell you, we're living up to it. We live up to it. Now, how are we going to escape? How are we going to get out of this mess? How about James 1:21? James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That lay apart, that's like repent. That lay apart, that's like turn. Turn from filth and naughtiness and receive. See, I need something. Just turning from wouldn't have helped me. I needed to turn to the Savior. I had a big void. There's a hole in everyone's heart that nothing else will fit in there but Jesus. Yeah. Now you can try a lot of different things, but the only thing that will fit in that void is Jesus. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Engrafted, when they graft a plum limb into a peach tree, they cut down deep, like a big notch, and that thing gets grafted in deep. They fit it together in a wedge like an arrow, wrap that thing with a baler string, and it's down deep. The cut's down deep. That engrafted word's got to get down in there deep, down in my heart, and it'll change my heart. And what happens is, we also learned in our class that back in Bible time, The Romans had children, of course, but the children were not treated as sons. They were children until they were 14 years old. They had no rights or privileges, and the slaves and the servants had more rights and privileges than they did. And then when the child was 14 years old, he took off his coat and they gave him an adult coat and they adopted their own children. Now, we don't do that in America, not around here, but in those days, that's what the Romans did. They adopted their own. And I'll go ahead and tell you, God doesn't adopt anybody's own. When you got saved, the adoption process was started and it'll be completed in Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not in the family. You're a child. You're a child. You're in the family. But we're going to get everything when we... Well, let's read it. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When I take off this flesh and put on that new body, the adoption will be complete. We will be in the family. I mean, we're in the family now, but the adoption process will be complete when I get my new body. I have all the rights and privileges then. Matter of fact, you know what? I will be holy.
Yeah.
And you're going to be holy when we get that new body. See, He made us holy. When we got saved, it's when He looks at us, we're already in heaven. He's looking through the blood of His Son, and because of that, we're holy. But we're learning how to be holy. But then one day, when we get our new body, we'll be holy. There won't be no presence of sin then. There'll be no desire for sin then. Let's look at it one more time. It says it in a little different way here in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, that's when we get our new body, we shall be like Him. We're going to be holy, for we shall see Him as He is. I'd have to have my new body or I'd blow up. No man can look at God and live. You would explode if you didn't have your new body. We're going to be looking at Him one day. Okay, now let's go over there to Revelation. I think we've got the background laid here. Got a runway so we can take off. Now in chapter 4, was talking to Brother Matt there a while ago. Revelation is laid out chronologically in order of time. Let's just look at it here. Back up to chapter 1, verse 19. It says, write the things which thou hast seen. That's the past, and that's chapter 1. That matches up with chapter 1. And the things which are, that's present tense, that's chapters 2 and 3. There's 7 letters there to the 7 churches in the church age. And that's right now. That's right now. And the things which shall be hereafter, that's the future. That's chapter 4 on to the end. Matches that right there. Got a ready-made outline for the book right there in chapter 1. So let's go. Now look, chapter 4, we go to heaven.
Yeah.
And don't get too excited, but we're going to heaven right here. Let's just read a little bit about it. We talk about it. We think about it. We say we talk about it. We want to go. Well, let's see what it's like for a little bit. Revelation chapter 4, and after this I looked, and behold a door. Let's hold your finger right there. How about John 10:7? There's a door in heaven. Heaven has a way in, no way out. Eden had a way out, no way back in. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. So Jesus, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, here it is in chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Let's look at that in Revelation 1:10. A trumpet talking to me. A voice like a trumpet. In Revelation 1:10, we see, this is John talking, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar. There's going to be a trumpet. He's going to say, come up hither. Let me start all over. Chapter 4, verse 1, Revelation. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. Well, this is just a glimpse. Let's look at just a little bit of it. And immediately, now back whenever I got saved, they talked about the rapture a lot. I hadn't heard it before because I was a Methodist before that, but I got saved and then I got my eyes open and I moved over. Anyway, they talked about, General Electric tried to figure out what a twinkling of an eye was, how long that was, and they come up with like 10,000ths of a second or something. This says right here, immediately.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there. It's going to be immediate. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. Well, let me just ask you, has anyone ever seen a real live throne? It's not a trick question. I've never seen one. I've never even seen a throne. We're going to see some things we ain't never seen. They don't have them over at Nowlin.
Yeah.
There's no thrones over there. I've never seen one my entire life. It's going to be a real throne. We read the other day in Isaiah, God's throne is heaven.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the throne. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven and one. I've never seen this one either.
Yeah.
I've never seen the throne. I've never seen the one that sits on it. But we're getting ready to. That's where we're headed. And one sat on the throne. It's a big throne. We read that the other day because we're all in there with him. And he is sat was to look upon as a jasper. The preacher's got me Googling stuff now. So I tried to Google jasper, see what that was. And it's all different colors. I can't tell you. It's just something I've never seen. And a sardine stone. I've never seen one of those. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now I do remember an emerald's green. Have you ever seen a green rainbow? Me neither. We're going to see a green rainbow. It's going to be a big throne. The one's going to be in it. It's going to be a big green rainbow around. It's going to look good. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Anyone ever seen a real live crown? Never either. They don't have them over now. Think what all we're going to say. 24 of them. Well, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Now, I've never seen nothing like that. And there were seven lamps of fire burning. I love playing in fire. I like to go camp and just play with the fire. Sometimes in the evenings, Sister Kim and I will go out in the horse ring there and build a fire. I love to play in the fire. It's going to be so much fun. I can't hardly wait. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the thrones there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. I've never seen anything like that. Now the commentators say that's a sea of people. But either way, I've never seen a sea of people. I've never seen a sea of glass. Neither one. Like unto the crystal in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, there's four beasts full of eyes. Before and behind. It could be like going to the zoo. It could be like kangaroos, giraffes, elephants. And round about the throne are four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion. I told you. And the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Anybody ever seen anything like that? Me neither, but I'm going to. We're going to see it. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Say, here's what they're saying. Everybody in heaven, the beasts around the throne are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks, hey, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Brother Rick could go ahead and start thanking right now, couldn't he? It'd be a good thing if he would. Give thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth and forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Okay, back to verse 8. Let me say this. I didn't know about holy. I looked it up. Here's what it means. It means proper. The beast could be saying proper, proper, proper. I'll go ahead and tell you he's proper. Everything he does is proper. Proper. It means whole, W-H-O-L-E. He's altogether lovely. I'll go ahead and tell you. It means pure. They could be saying pure, pure, pure. Entire, perfect. They could be saying perfect, perfect, perfect. Sacred, just, right, good. Go ahead and tell you the Lord's good. We have a holy God. Now, there are no other gods, but they talk about those little G gods. Let me tell you, they're not gods. They're not gods. They're not holy gods that crash airplanes into buildings to kill 2,000 people, 5,000, 3,000. That's not a holy God. They ain't nobody like our God. Our God's holy. Our God doesn't murder 5,000 people and murder people. Our God doesn't throw babies, doesn't murder babies by throwing them to crocodiles. Not the same thing. Our God doesn't murder babies by throwing them in volcanoes. I've been watching the babies play out there in the hall all evening. That'd be a wicked God. That wouldn't be a holy God to do something like that. We have a holy God. Everything about Him's holy. His name's holy. One Sunday in Sunday school, they sang for an hour about His holy name. We read His 350 names, and every one of them's holy. Holy. He's not regular holy. He's the most holy. That means there's none more holy than He is. The most holy. There's only one holy Father, and that's the Holy One of Israel. He lives in a holy habitation. Everything about Him. So you won't have to brush your teeth anymore. You won't have to take a bath. Not when you get there. It's a holy place. It has holy chambers in this holy place. Let's look at it in Ezekiel 42. I don't know how many know it, but Sister Kim can't smell. Now everybody knows it, don't they? And I don't have to brush my teeth. She don't know. She don't know if I do or not. Ezekiel 42:13. Then said he unto me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers. Where the priests that approach unto the Lord. You know we've been made priests, don't you? That was in chapter 1. That approach unto the Lord, the big Lord, shall eat the most holy things. There shall they lay the most holy things, and the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. That's where we're going. That's where we just read about. It's a holy place. His holy angels worship Him day and night. And we worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. We're going to go over there where they're at. His right arm is holy. His right hand is holy. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the holy seed and the holy sinless substitute of the holy sacrifice. And the holy oblation for all sinners' sin. Jude 20 says, calls it the most holy faith. Because it's in God's holy blood, which according to Acts 20:28, started His holy church. So the church should be holy. Let's look at a couple verses on that. Ephesians 5. I use the word should be because that's what's used right here. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present it to Himself, it's the church, Himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 1 Peter backs Him up. 1 Peter 1. Verses 15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Wherefore, lift up holy hands and greet one another with a holy kiss. I wish Brother Darrell was here. He makes fun of me on that holy kiss. I told him in the Greek, that's handshaking. Holy kiss. He has holy brethren, which that's you. You've been made holy. And He wrote the Holy Scriptures containing the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost inside here. His holy convocation of holy prophets and holy apostles helped record His holy law and His holy commandments for their holy calling and their holy portion along with the holy priesthood revealed His holy purpose and holy plan to send a holy child in a holy birth on a holy night. And it's going to happen real soon here. We're going to celebrate it. His ground's holy because it's in His holy country, heaven, and in His holy city, New Jerusalem, which is on a holy hill Mount Zion. He drinks holy water, and his holy day is Sunday. And he has many holidays, like Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. He has holy conversations with his holy congregation, with holy men and holy women from his holy nation of holy believers. And he anointed you with holy oil and made you holy vessels to bear holy fruit. He provides a holy altar in the holy sanctuary for a holy offering. You know, like my broken heart, that I need to be more thankful on Thanksgiving. He made them, you, holy instruments in His most holy house. He is our holy dwelling place. All His ways are holy. All His works are holy. All His words are holy. His Redeemer, Jesus, is holy. All His promises are holy. His covenant is holy. The ark that it's in is holy. His temple is holy. Thou art holy that inhabitest eternity. That's God. His mountains are holy. His oracles are holy. He gives us holy gifts and holy things. And one holy day, it's going to be a holy garment and a holy crown with a holy name and a new holy white stone in it. Amen. And that's what the Holy Bible says. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. God, You're so good. We love You, Lord. And praise You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't get shot.